Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace today. We're continuing in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and really focusing on this key verse where he says there, you must be willing to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And what we're essentially been looking at this week is that we are engaged in a battle for souls in Christian ministry. Eternal life for the sheep is what we're fighting for. And Paul said this to all of us, you must endure the hardship prayerfully, scripturally, in a way that glorifies Christ. Because to avoid that calling is like a gardener saying, I don't want to cut grass. It's the nature of what you do. You're in warfare trying to pull sinners out of the fire. That's how the Bible often describes it. And so I closed yesterday with this quote by John Flavel. The labors of the ministry are fitly compared to the toils of men in harvest, to the labor of women in travail, and to the agonies of soldiers in the extremity of a battle. Well, Paul gives three analogies here today from this point here that he's making to endure hardship that we know in daily life to support this main point. Listen to verse 4. As a soldier, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We know this about a soldier. You know, I can't get over the whole Pat Tillman story. 25 years old, set aside millions to play for the Arizona Cardinals, the NFL, set aside all the fame, all the fortune, all the charter jets, all the Sunday roars, a comfortable, lavish, glaring lifestyle, joined the Army. Why? What was his answer? I want to serve my country. And he didn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life, gave himself to serve his country and died in friendly fire. I mean, today Pat Tillman's not even here. He's dead. But he didn't even die for the kingdom. And Paul is using this as an analogy. We understand in natural life that soldiers will give themselves to their cause, to defend their countries, to defend their nations, to defend the people of that. And they set aside all these other things to do that. They're not entangled in the affairs of this life. Paul says, think about it. Soldiers are this committed to serve their causes. How much more should the servant of Christ be to serve their risen Christ? He goes on, you know this from athletics, 2 Timothy 2:5. And if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. I was a runner in school, and I was never fast enough for the short sprints, and I never had the endurance for the long distances, so I met halfway with this terrible race called the 800. It's two laps. It was a horrid race. You had to build enough quick speed in your training to be able to turn it up and come around the last corner, so you needed to hang out with the sprinters in their training, and you had to have enough endurance to make it, so you had to hang out with the long distance guys, the cross country guys, and do these long, slow distances of 5 miles at a time, and to build a good base in your skills so that you were able to endure the 800. Well, the first time I ran it, I almost died, but I worked hard. I mean, the training, so much for it. I won the regionals in California. I had the fastest time in the nation that year. For my age group, I was 3 seconds off the national record. After I had won the state, I coasted. It was a few months until the Nationals, you know, and so I thought, you know, I was going to fly back to North Carolina. I was going to run in the Nationals, but I was tired. I didn't work hard in that month. I had given up. But I had enough arrogance to think I'd still win. And I got smoked in that race. It was completely embarrassing. And in fact, the time that won that race was 4 seconds slower than what I had run a month before. Well, it's a good analogy. To win the crown, there were rules of training I had set aside and that I avoided, and I wasn't going to win because of that. Well, you translate that, as Paul is doing here, to the warfare and the enlistment in the kingdom and service for Christ in his kingdom. We're laboring for what? Souls. We want to present all those whom we labor for perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 1. And Paul applies this that way. We have to give ourselves for that. He gives one final analogy. He says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. You know, there are a lot of farmers in this community, you know. And when the joy is when the crop is brought in, he's the first one to see of all the work, the hard, long path it came to. He's the first one to see it. He's the first one to partake of his crops. He knows how much work and struggle he had to come through to get there. All along the way, there are often setbacks. I mean, the dairy industry, you know, there's all sorts of things that slow down and get hard, and they're difficult for farmers right now. But the day when it comes and it gets better, you're going to breathe fresh air because you know how long that path was until that point of relief. In a similar way, we go through hard seasons in Christian ministry, dangerous seasons, but there's a harvest coming. A harvest of souls no man can number. And consider, Paul says, what I say, that the Lord may give you understanding in these things. Consider carefully what I'm saying to you guys. Well, what then is the rule for enlisting in Christ's service and being set apart for his service? Well, God is saying here, to serve the risen Christ and please him, your rule of engagement. You have got to be willing to suffer hardship for the kingdom. You've got to be willing to endure hardship. That's not just casual, have fun sort of approach to Christianity. Sorry, guys, not what it is. I don't know what a lot of people are doing in Christian ministry. It's not the outline Paul's giving at all. We're battling, we're confronting sin, we're crushing with the law, we're raising up in Christ. It's a whole offense to the cross. He's a stumbling block to so many. You know, the message of hell is real and we have to proclaim it. So this is what he's calling us to engage. Don't disengage. Fear God, not men. That's ultimately what it comes down to. Consider whom you're serving. Consider what the work is all about. You may not see fruit now. You may not even see a lot of outward fruit in these tough days. You may not understand where all these sleepless nights, these hard trials, these difficult, complex situations that you're faced with, where they're going, why they're there, where the fruit is. But in the end, God promises a harvest is coming of souls that no man can number. And I've got to look ahead to that. He's made that promise. I'm not laboring in vain, even though things are hard and I'm suffering hardship. And it may seem that my ministry is going nowhere. And that's how Paul concludes this. And let me just say, that's how always God has worked. You know, when Gideon had his army, it was reduced to how many? From 3,000 to 300, so that the glory would be to God. That's what God says, that he's given us this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of him and not of us. It's not in our wise gimmicks. It's not in our entertainment techniques. It's not in all these things that rape the emotions. It's in the message. It's in the content of the message. That's what's actually genuinely, sincerely life-changing. So then you won't have to worry about perseverance of the saints. That message is being proclaimed, and sinners are transformed with the correct message. They're going to stay. Okay, so verse 8, 2 Timothy 2. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. There it is again. Even to the point of chains, he's imprisoned. But then he says, the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Through all of this, remember your Lord Jesus. He's the one we seek to please. He's the one we follow. He's risen. Remember his life. He was killed for this message. He was delivered up because of our offenses, and today he's risen victorious. Remember him. He became one of us. Paul says, according to this gospel, which we are serving to advance and to see spread to the ends of the earth. He says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer with it, even to the point of chains. You hear what he's saying? My intentions with people have been only good, to advance a message that is able to save them. And you know what they've done to me? They've defamed me. They've made me out to be an evildoer. They've chained me in prison. Paul would later say to Titus, be sure to maintain a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. It's going to happen. You will be discredited in standing for the truth. You will be undermined. Paul says, I am, but the word of God is not chained. Oh, I love that. These agitators can never stop the truth. They will attack, they will sulk, they will do all they can to stop the message, but the truth will always advance. They may take down the messenger, but they'll never take down the truth. They say when John Bunyan was put into prison for his preaching, his window faced a high stone wall so that no one could see inside or outside his cell. So what he would do is preach as loud as he could so that his voice could be heard outside the wall. They say hundreds of listeners would gather to hear the word preached, which was unconfined by bars and walls. Maybe it will get like that point here, legislation and these things trying to remove offensive speech. Well, they may be able to try to attack the messenger, but the message will never be stopped. Never. For Christ's glory, Paul says, we endure all these things for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. God has chosen people, and he's going to save them, and he uses us to work. He uses us sinful men to advance his truth that ultimately will save sinners, producing salvation. What a glorious task. Are we sufficient in ourselves for these things? No. Jesus Christ is our sufficiency, and in him he will give you all that you stand in need of and more to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, firm to the end.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.